Okay, we are ready to roll, and we are in the Sunday morning class, the Gospel of Matthew, the last week of Jesus' life on earth. And our handout notes that it's week three. So that's what I'm saying we are. Week three, and it's called Appointed Time. And the date last week when we started it, and we got through one paragraph, that was it, was February 26th. So that's what's on the handout. But the date today is March 5th. Boy, how time flies. Okay. We started last week talking about the Passion of Christ. Don't we hear that expression, the Passion of Christ? And we saw many of us might have seen the Passion of Christ in the theater in 2005. And passion is from the Latin word petai, which means to endure, to suffer. So is that what comes to mind when you hear of the Passion of the Christ? I do believe that there were many emotions that Jesus had. Jesus, who came as fully God, fully man. Did he feel those nails as they nailed him to the cross? Yes. Did he feel that flogging that could have killed him without even going to the cross? Yes. But remember, he had to go to the cross. He must go to the cross to fulfill prophecy. But he did suffer. His suffering was real. And he prayed in Gethsemane, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup, may my destiny, may what this will bring into my life." And we see so many times that the cup in Scripture is a cup of judgment, especially when we go through the Passover Seders that are going to be coming up in the near future. And the cup is taken by the members of the family. But they're not all judgment in the Passover cups, but in when we go through the prophets, we see cups being talked about, and there were judgment, cups of judgment, what they would go through because the Jewish people, many of them veered from God and were worshiping idols. But we know that there are cups of abundance and salvation because we read it in Psalms, and Psalm 23 specifically. "My cup overflows." And David, in writing that, you could just see a big smile on his face and on his heart. So in Jesus' prayer to God the Father, he said, "But not my will, but your will be done." Because he knew that the cup of blessing could only be poured out on the sinful world if he took the cup of judgment upon himself, if he paid the penalty for our sins. This is such, it's an emotional time for us many times when we sing the old rugged cross like we did, when we talk about what Jesus went through for us. I know that when we're watching The Chosen in Sierra Point and in the townhouse, clubhouse, which we'll be doing again shortly, but that I keep thinking, wow, when we get to those episodes where we see the crucifixion, that's going to be hard on us. We know, we have hindsight, we know what happened. But we see such a relationship building between, and we're watching this on TV, and I realize it's TV, but they're taking it from Scripture. There was such a relationship between the disciples and Jesus, and how they must have felt when he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die." You know, and Peter, and we're going to talk about that. Peter just had a fit, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. And when Jesus was in the garden, it says that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. And in Matthew 26, Mark 14, it's in your handout, he said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Remember, 100% God, 100% male, man rather. Richard?
And I read from a doctor from Lee Strobel's book, A Case for Christ, that when you do have this hematidrosis, the blood in your sweat glands, it makes your skin more fragile, so you're even more susceptible.
Oh, I hadn't read that.
It's
wow.
Now, he knew this, but he still was going to grief, you know, and so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he knew it. He knew everything that was coming his way as God.
But that's a little extra that he added to himself. in the garden, you know, to have that blood, because it'll make his skin more fragile for the flogging. But
and even, you know, going to the cross well. And you know who we read about the sweat becoming like great drops of blood in Luke. That's where we find it. And who wrote the book of Luke? Dr. Luke. You know, so there is a medical condition, and Richard mentioned it, hematidrosis, and it's rare, but it's a real condition. And like you had said, it's when one's the sweat glands are surrounded by the tiny blood vessels, which then constrict and dilate. Much of this is called caused by anguish, by stress. And when they constrict and dilate to the point of rupturing, it causes that blood to enter into the sweat glands. So that's what that condition is. But and again, going to Jesus knowing everything that would come upon him. And that's the third paragraph in page one. He is Emmanuel. He's God in the flesh. So he's, again, 100% God, 100% man. And he knew that he was going to be betrayed by one of his very own disciples. He knew he was going to undergo several trials where all of the witnesses that were called against him would lie. He knew he would be flogged to the point of being disfigured, because he knew what Isaiah wrote about him in Isaiah 52:14. He would be disfigured beyond that of any man, beyond human likeness, through the flogging itself. And yet there was more, because the crucifixion, that's one of the most, if the most painful and torturous methods of execution ever devised by the Persians. And it was used on criminals. It was used on the most despised and wicked people. And it was so horrific, the pain was so horrific, that it was described as excruciating. And that word excruciating literally means from the cross, from the cross. So, yeah, there were many emotions, but I think of our passage, Hebrews 12:1-2, that we have for this year, the passage that says, and it's in your handout, if you were wondering which it's fifth paragraph down. It says, let us run with endurance. The author of Hebrews is telling his recipients, who are Jewish people, many being Jewish believers. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That gets to me each time. Who for the joy, he came to die. The cross didn't just happen. He came to die for us. And he was from all eternity. He has been the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And we know that it pleased the Father to bruise the Son, as it says in Isaiah 53:10. As Richard had mentioned before, if he would offer himself as a sin offering. So Jesus' passion, he many emotions, but I look at it too as a settled purpose, because he had to die. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. Paul called Jesus our Passover, as he is the perfect Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us. And in that passage where Paul calls Jesus our Passover, indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So I want to talk a little bit about why Passover and Passion Week, we'll call Holy Week. How about we call it Passover Week? Because it's based on God's calendar in Leviticus 23. But why is there the connection? It may be a stupid question to ask this class of all classes, but it's a good survey question. Why is there such a connection between Resurrection Sunday, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and Passover? And then another good question to ask a believer, I'm going to say a Gentile believer, is to ask, do you think Christians are nuts when they present the Passover Seder? And are they going beyond? Are they coming under the law? What's the deal with the connection between Passover and Easter? We'll say Easter for now. Except I don't like saying Easter, because Easter is named after a Persian goddess, Ishtar. So forget about that. So it's Resurrection Sunday, always. But so what's the big deal between the connection, regarding the connection between Passover, the Jewish feast of Passover, and Resurrection Sunday, with Good Friday coming before? What's the big deal? Take your charts out. And we're only going to look at the first feast. And in this, if you have never seen this before, well, you saw it last week because we had them on the table. But if you've never studied the feasts, it's amazing. And in, you've got columns. In the first column, you'll see all seven of the major feasts, seven major feasts noted, first one being Passover. And then you see in the second column how it was commemorated in history. And some of the feasts are surrounding harvests, right? So you'll see that noted in the second column. And then in the third column, you'll see the fulfillment of that feast. Isn't that great that we, when we're reading the scripture, that when we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Hebrew scriptures and the New Testament, that we are reading history unfolding, the history of Israel, and we are seeing the fulfillment. We are reading about the fulfillment. Some of it is a partial fulfillment, because what are we reading about? When we look at this handout, it says the Gospel of Matthew. Then what does it say? The last week of Jesus' life on earth. So that means he's going away. But is he coming back? Yeah. Amen. That's so wonderful. So there's more to fulfill. There's more prophecy to fulfill. And then in the last column on your chart, it talks about application, how these feasts apply to us as far as our salvation is concerned, okay? Jewish and Gentile folks, our salvation. So as far as Passover and the whole Passion Week, the Holy Week, the week preceding the crucifixion, and then the resurrection, we see that Passover is celebrated on the 14th of Nisan. Well, that's interesting in and of itself, okay? Some of you might be thinking, I drive a Nisan, so I don't know what this Nisan is. But it's spelled a different way, and it's the one of the months on the Jewish calendar. And I've given support for these comments from Scripture, all right? So it's the first month of the religious calendar that God gave to the Jewish people, as he was giving all of the commandments to Moses for the people, and the Feast of the Lord was noted at that time. And in history, they were to kill the lamb. God told them on prior to the 14th of Nisan, on the 10th of Nisan, and I did not put the 10th of Nisan on this chart, but you might just want to write it in your handout. On the 10th of Nisan, they were to bring the lambs into the homes and scrutinize the lambs to make sure that they were spotless, that they had no blemish, because God required a blemishless, a spotless animal. And that's talked about in Deuteronomy 15:21. The animal, be it a lamb, a bull, a goat, etc., could not be lame, could not be blind, could not have any serious defects. But when we're talking about Passover, we're talking about lambs here. So specifically, if that lamb was spotless, they were to kill the lamb. Kill the lamb. And that killing of the lamb did take place on the 14th of Nisan. And it says between twilight. Scott?
But the 10th was what again?
10th would be Lamb Selection Day, when they brought the lambs into the homes, and they were given until the 14th to investigate, to make sure that they were spotless, without any blemishes.
And the day otherwise known as
Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday. That's what the church celebrates, is Palm Sunday. Oh, mm-hmm. I could say more, but I won't. But yeah, the Jewish people called it Lamb Selection Day. And but I also want you to know, remember I said note the 14th of Nisan? What happened, Sharon? What's your birth date?
February 14th.
Oh, Cheryl. That's Sharon and that's Sharon. Both of you. Cheryl, what's your birthday?
February 14th.
Oh, that's lovely. Valentine's Day.
May 23rd.
Okay. Does your birthday always happen on the same day each year? Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've never even thought about that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean,
that's
it's interesting. It's always on May 23rd, but it's not always on May 23rd.
Right. No, but it happens, that, you know, because of... because of what, Candy?
Leap year.
Huh?
Leap year. So it
wouldn't... No, never. I mean, like, we celebrated Christmas, right, in 2022 on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's not going to be on Sunday next Christmas because of the solar, the lunar, et cetera, right. Don't ask me how. I will get all confused with that. But how come we always celebrate Resurrection Sunday on Sunday? There's an answer to it, but let me go back to this. How come we always celebrate Good Friday on Friday?
Because it has to be before the resurrection day.
It has to be before the resurrection, but there's more to it than that, okay? And we'll get into that in a couple of weeks.
Well, resurrection day is always the first day of the week.
Resurrection day because of Leviticus 23. Okay, because it was on the day after the Sabbath that Jesus rose from the dead. So it always has to be on Sunday. Yeah, that. But on the other dates that are noted, there's a rotation. So just put that in the back of your mind for something we're going to cover in a couple of weeks. Okay? So, what does Passover mean? Redemption of the children of Israel from bondage. And in that, this respect, historically, it was from bondage to slavery in Egypt. And I believe that the fulfillment is the crucifixion of the Messiah because he was crucified on the day of Passover. And the redemption for us believers in Jesus is freedom from the bondage of sin forever. So, questions, thoughts, problems? He was crucified on the day of Passover, which would be the 14th of Nisan. We're going to break it down also when we get to that lesson in a couple of weeks. Okay. So, is Passover significant when we look at it this way?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah. It is the reason why we're meeting here today. Passover is the reason why we have Bible study here, or Sunday class. Passover is the reason we have church services. Passover is the reason why you have your quiet time. When you open the Bible and read it. Passover is the reason that you share Jesus with other people. It is eternally significant. But a lot of people don't, you know, think that we might be coming under the law. Sharon.
How does that relate to on the seventh day Jesus rest? And I always thought we went to church on Sunday too, because that was the seventh day.
And
the week.
No, it's actually Sunday is the first day in the week. Yeah, yeah. And
so it has nothing to do with the creation and on the day that Jesus rested.
It more so, it has to do with Jesus' resurrection, the first day of the week.
Well, the church changed the day that they started to worship because the Jewish... The seventh day of the week is Saturday, and so Shabbat is on Saturday.
Right.
That's
and
their day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
Their week is Sunday to Saturday. Saturday is the day of rest. But when Jesus rose on Sunday, eventually the Jewish believers started to worship on Sunday because Jesus rose. That's why I understood it, is that they changed the day of the week they worship. To Sunday, and so then it kind of Right? Like, it kind of changed, like, yeah, the day that you, they started to rest, because they started to worship on Sunday.
But when you go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and you look at Hebrews 3, chapters 3 and 4, because people have come, you know, pushed back on me saying, well, how come you don't celebrate on Sabbath? How do, well, they don't say celebrate because they believe in rest. How do you, how come you don't worship God on Sabbath, all right? And I'll say, or rest on Sabbath. I'll say, Jesus is my Sabbath rest. So it's come to the point when Jesus came and fulfilled all the law. He is our Sabbath rest. And Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 make a point of it being a 24/7. It's a 24/7 now Sabbath. Okay? But the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is always, we have to think of the Sabbath as always Saturday, you know, in the Jewish calendar, right?
Yeah.
Because one time Bobby was in a church, and they were getting ready for Super Bowl, and you tell it.
They had aprons made up. They said, with Super Sabbath?
Yeah, because it was on a Sunday, yeah.
Said, but yeah, but then the Super Bowl played on Sunday. He said, well, yeah, that's okay. They just fluffed it off.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? When you go to Genesis 2, verse 1, and this is a recap of God's creation. Okay, it's not a new part of the, well, it's a recap. Because he had already created man when we read Genesis 1 and called it very good. But Genesis 2:1, that's the heavens and the earth and all the, oh my gosh, Kathy, all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So that's what you were referring to, Michelle, except that, so that would be,
well, that's, and then that's why he gave them
the Sabbath.
The Sabbath,
right?
The seventh day.
Right.
And then, like, in my mind, what I understood is that the early Jewish believers in Jesus, they changed their worship day, their Sabbath or rest day, to Sunday because Jesus rose on Sunday. And that's kind of how the church ended up the way we are.
Right, you know, but we, but I'm thinking that when it says the first day of the week in the old, in the New Testament, it doesn't, this is for our study purposes,
yeah,
you know, individually, and then we can talk about it, but it doesn't always mean Sunday. The first day of the week doesn't always mean, I mean, it means Sunday. It is Sunday, but as far as getting together, because when you read Acts, they were together all the time. They were breaking bread all the time. So there came a point, and where I'm going with this is when we look at when Resurrection Sunday was observed, Constantine made a big switch because the early church celebrated the anniversary, we'll call it that, of Jesus' resurrection on Passover. Okay, they celebrated the crucifixion and resurrection because the resurrection, they knew it happened, so they, that was the validation of Jesus dying for our sins and rising from the dead, and it was on Passover. And Constantine said, I do not want to celebrate on Passover. I don't want to have anything to do with the Jewish people because they killed Jesus. And I have the quote coming from him saying that, so that's why I was bringing it up.
Okay.
But
so is that when it was changed to Sunday?
And I had read it was the Council of Nicaea that changed it to Sunday. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As
yeah. Oh.
What's the church group that their Sabbath day is Saturday?
Oh, that's Seventh Day Adventist.
Adventist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a lecture on that when I was a kid, and I still don't remember. You know. I was like, there's some controversy here between.
Was it Seventh Day Adventist talking to you? Yeah.
There's also a group called Seventh Day Baptists. Another, I almost said cult, I don't mean cult, just another group.
Yeah. There's so many groups. There's so many denominations. Yeah. I had heard 263 denominations. Somebody recently told me that, like, there are thousands of denominations.
Daryl says 30,000.
I'm sorry?
Daryl, in this Monday night, they'll say, says there's 30,000.
30,000? Did he, was he serious?
It's Daryl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you Daryl.
That's good. Oh my gosh. Okay, I want to know. It's 10 o'clock? Okay, we're going to wrap up. I mean it. No, we're not going to wrap up. Crumbs. Okay. So, but let's look into that a little bit. No, we're not going to be here next week. David's going to talk on Jesus' resurrection, so you can give us more information on that.
Where all right. Where are
you
being next week? I forget.
Lehi, Church of the Nazarene on Salt River Indian Reservation.
Reservation. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's fun.
I can't keep up with it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, when we can come and speak about it and observe the text and come away saying, well, you know what? We don't know exactly, but we know that your word has the answer. So, Lord, we look forward to digging deeper. And, Father, for all that you are going to do in people's lives, people whose hearts you are stirring now, especially that minds are on this week, this Passover week coming up in April and coinciding this year with your crucifixion, Jesus, and your resurrection. God, we praise you for your plan of salvation that has rescued us from hell for eternity. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts. Father, may we never, never forget. We give you praise always. In your name, amen. Amen.